Welcome to our Sunday school time. If we could find our seats and open our Bibles up to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. As we continue on this road to revival, revival is just another week away. We're almost there. And hopefully we've been preparing this whole way. Last week we spoke about inspecting God's house, our bodies, our temple for God. Is it through all the daily troubles we go through, have we inspected, make sure that it's sound, the foundation is sound, and that the load-bearing walls are sound so it doesn't crumble and doesn't fall when the storms come? Today we're going to talk about what happens when God cleans house. What happens when God cleans the house? Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to begin in verse number 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? What we have here is a perfect scene of when Jesus came in to Jerusalem, and he went into the temple. He saw all the people there that were changing money, that were selling sacrifices inside the temple outer courts and in those courts there in the temple. Now, here's the problem with this. These money changers, what they would do is they would take the money that people were bringing in, which was Caesar's coins. It was the coins of the Romans. And they would exchange it for temple coins. Now, they would do this, but you wouldn't quite get what you were bringing in. So say you brought in $30 of Roman coins, you were lucky if you got $20 back. Then they would take that into the temple and give their sacrifices that way, their monetary sacrifices, and then they did their thing. But this is an all-profit thing. They would sell the sacrifices. And Jesus had a problem with this because they were thieving. They were stealing from the parishioners. I mean, how would it be if we came into churches today and had to pay to go to church? Think about it. There are churches out here today that you walk into the door and it's like a mini mall. It's like a food court. If you go, excuse me, if you go on to Thomas Road Baptist Church back in Lynchburg, Virginia, on their website, on YouTube, there's a lady that went back there and she did a nice little video tour of Thomas Road Baptist Church. And going in the front door, it looked like an ordinary church, but you walked in, you had a nice little coffee shop over here, and you can order sandwiches and breakfast and a nice little food court there. You had a place where you get kids' meals and stuff. Walk down, you had a nice little play area that you go into, and kids can bounce around while you sat there and talk. And you had another couple of things out here where you can buy souvenirs, and then a bookstore. And then way back in the back was where you got into the sanctuary. And the minute you stepped through those doors, it became hallowed ground. Nah, the temple starts. You need to understand that the temple, the tabernacle, were all pictures of God's temple today, us. You see, just like the temple had three parts to it, we've got three parts to us: our body, our soul, and then our spirit. So, with this being said, Jesus went in there to purge the temple. He wanted to clean out the profane. We know this in verse number 12 of Matthew 21. And Jesus went into the temple and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold the doves. Now, Jesus was purging the temple of all the sin, of all the profane things that were in there. Remember, our bodies, I just said that we are God's temple today. Excuse me. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. He threw them out physically. How do we know this? Well, Jesus wouldn't do that. Jesus is love. Jesus would never send us to hell. He's love. God would never destroy anything. He's love. I got news for you. God has already done it. Remember the place called Sodom and Gomorrah? It was such a nice place to visit. Right? Wrong. Look at our city today. Look at the world which we live in. You think God's going to put up with it much longer? He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It's coming, folks. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. John 2:15-16. Understand, this is not what God meant for his house to be. Now, in getting ready for revival coming, we need to search inside God's temple, our bodies. And we need to look, and we need to purge out those things that are profaning it. Are you watching proper programming on TV? What is it you're letting into your eyes, and through your eyes into your heart, into God's temple? Are you allowing proper music into it? Are you allowing improper ideas coming from the TV into your temple of God? What about going down the street? Are your sin visors up and you're seeing all the niceness that Las Vegas has to offer with all the different clubs and everything? You know, I really, as driving that bus, the one thing I really, really, really detest about driving in Sin City is all those taxi cabs that have these suggestive things on top of their cabs, or the mobile billboard. I'm ashamed to drive our youth, our kids, next to these vehicles. I wish I had a device in the bus where I could just send up some shields and block out all of this. But it's out there, and we need to watch what's going into our bodies. We need to purge our bodies. We need to give our temple back to God. Well, what's he say on this? You know, well, again, I hear it from people all the time. God wouldn't do this. If we go to Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 8, let's see what the writer of Hebrews said about this. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now understand, this word scourgeth means he whips them. Just like our mommies and daddies used to do when we were young and we would get in trouble, some of them would take the belts to you. I don't know how many times I got paddled. I'm not proud of it. I had my own little seat back in the day when they could spank us in school. I had my own little chair outside the principal's office at Heritage High School. Brother Ron knows about this, or Roger. He remembers Mr. Martin. Mr. Martin, I'll never forget him. He used to walk around. He was like that Marine drill sergeant with taps on his feet. He had wingtip shoes, would walk around every time. Tap, tap. Every kid, when they heard those taps, they would scatter. They're like turning on the light when roaches are around. It's like, boom. You did not want to go to Mr. Martin's office. But this is what God will do. God punishes us. God chastises us, allows us to go through these things, not because he wants to punish us, but because he loves us. Proverbs says, spare the rod, you love your child. Because those who spare the rod hateth their child. That's what the Bible says. God loves us. He's going to chastise us. What's the purpose for this? This is to make us holy before God. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to make this a two-parter because I've got two more notes I've got to go through. Anyhow, but this is a good place to leave it because we need to understand what's revival all about. Revival's about taking God's house, his temple, and preparing it and reestablishing fellowship that's been lost. You see, the purpose of the temple and the purpose of the tabernacle was so that God could make a presence in the middle of the children of Israel. Just like the temple of today that is made with no hands, where our spirit dwells, that's where God comes to fellowship with us. That's where God reveals himself to us. But when we sin, it's broken. It's no longer there. Until we stop what we're doing, we ask God for forgiveness, then he will reestablish that fellowship with us. Because after all, and I'm going to leave this little example. I've heard of a church in old Europe, ancient Europe, that when they came into services, it was a dark old church. And they would hand out candles at the doors they were coming in. And at each place that you would sit in the pews, there was a holder for this candle. So you would come up, the candle would be lit, and you would put the candle in the holder and take your seat. Now, it's a wonderful thing about light. All the dark places gets wiped out when you turn a light switch on. So these people would walk in with these candles, and pretty soon you would have enough illumination in there to where you could see the congregation pretty well. But then as people started to miss, those candles weren't being lit, and that area of darkness just grows and grows and grows and grows. Isn't that like our lives? When we allow that little speck of sin, that little glance, that little, oh man, look at that person's car. I wish I had that. Oop, there's that little bit of sin. And pretty soon that sin grows until it becomes a lust. And then it becomes more and more. Boy, I really wish I had that car. You know what? That sin is now darkening the face of Jesus inside your hearts. Next week, we're going to look at, what the purpose of this temple is all about. But understand, that first temple, the design that God made for the tabernacle, for the temple in Jerusalem, that was to bring him closer to his chosen people. But that darkness grew in Israel. And it grew so much that they denied the problem solver that came to that came in the form of Jesus. They rejected him. And look at what they're going through today. But that time is coming where that's going to be corrected. So praise God for that. God has not thrown away his chosen people, Israel. That covenant still stands today. Let's pray. Let's stand. Next week we'll go into the purpose of God's temple today.